Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out. Is there any physical therapy I should be doing with my foot in a little while, you think?
After a bunionectomy?
Yeah.
Shoot.
Thank you.
Probably Dolly. Just get some range of motion going again.
Yeah, but, just walking.
I mean, do they pin it through?
No pins. Nope. Right now it's all taped. So he goes, it's a non-invasive surgery. It's all orthoscopic.
Okay.
So I don't have any suture, you know, they don't cut it open, they don't splay it, they don't cut it, they don't put any metal in it. He goes in with that orthoscopic thing and kind of clears the bunion out. Okay. Then he makes little pie shape cuts and so that you can align the toes.
Okay.
So he does these little pie shape cuts in the bone so that it can move. You know, it's like having
That's
a tower.
Clever. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, then he tapes everything the way he wants your feet to go, your toes to go.
Yeah.
And then it just heals that way. So, you know.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, and he wants you walking around on it right now,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, absolutely. He said, like, I walked out of the office and I said, how long should I stay out?
He goes, wow. No.
He goes, it's important. It gets the blood flowing. You got to move it. But it was, he was so cute. He's such a cute little guy. He's like. He showed me after. He's like, so what do you think? Because, you know, it looks weird.
It looks awful, Doc.
He goes, oh, yeah, there's a little skin right there. But it's like after having a baby. It'll tighten right back up again.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
I laughed so hard. Oh, I mean, that's just an analogy.
So, like, I have this for my arches falling out, and it's not bad, but like, did he do anything on that side of your foot?
I don't have anything on that side, but it's just my bunion here. Then I have like my toe here is starting to hammer a little bit.
Explain why we get bunions.
Well, mine is hereditary, so
is it,
I don't
is
know.
It just a hereditary thing?
Yeah, I don't
feel
know
like
why your toes start.
Why do men get bunions?
I think Wiley looks like he might have bunions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, and when I look
why have I never heard of a man getting a bunionectomy?
I don't know. Maybe
have you guys?
I've never heard of a man getting a bunionectomy.
I haven't either. Huh. And I honestly wonder, like, is it because we wear heels?
I knew I was going to have bunions when I was 13. My mom took me to a foot doctor because I had a wart on the bottom of my foot.
Oh.
And so he treated it and he goes, and by the way, you're going to have bunions.
What?
he could see it starting and he's like, so, you know, you're 13, it's not the thing you want to hear is that you need to wear orthotic shoes for the rest of your life.
No, those are ugly. Not doing it.
But and so my grandmother had bunions and she came from that generation. Not only was she a small woman, but she wore high heels because she was small, but women wore high heels all the time.
Oh yeah.
And it pushes it pushes your foot into that shape, you know, high.
And it puts so much pressure on that.
And putting your toes into like a triangle shape.
Oh, because of the shape of the shoe itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rounded. Rounded.
There you go. Heeled but rounded.
Those are cute shoes.
I know.
Cute.
Oh,
so
goodness.
Yeah. I think it'll be great because it definitely was not that it just wasn't pretty. It was like just that my foot, it was affecting my knee and my hip.
Oh, do you remember how your back was starting to?
Yeah, my back started to hurt.
Yeah.
So.
And you couldn't run as well.
No, it was hurting, just hurting.
Oh, so then you're going to have your second one this fall, right?
Yeah. But the left foot is not as bad as the right foot.
Yeah. Oh.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, totally.
Okay.
By the way, we're recording.
Oh, yeah. enough of my bunions.
I feel like a lot of people deal with bunions in life.
Well, okay. I would encourage anyone to look at somebody who does bunions all the time and does it a non-invasive with orthoscope because I'm part of this Facebook Bunyan support group.
Oh, that's awesome. That's people, so awesome.
Well, I don't know. It's sometimes a little horrifying because people will post pictures. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they, like, after it looks horrendous. I've seen two stable, so that your toes heal straight. Mm-hmm. They put metal pins in your toes and then pull them out later.
Yes, that was my roommate. Because when I, in college, my roommate had a double bunionectomy. Oh, she was like scooting around on her tushy everywhere. And those pins sticking out. And it looked like they were sticking out underneath the big toenail.
Yeah.
Okay. It was creepy. Okay. That's
why I'm like, oh, no pins. I just assumed that, you know, surgeries have probably advanced in the 20 years since I was had roommates for 20 plus years.
Talking about the 90s.
Oh, I know.
Our movie is You've Got Mail, and it was filmed in 1998. Wow. Can you believe that?
It's been 26 years.
So
quarter of a century later.
Yeah.
And
like, whoa.
It was a very nostalgic film for me.
It was
to watch. It was super cute.
It's sort of weird, you know, the whole dial tone when you would.
Do you remember that though?
Yes,
I totally do.
I was like, oh my gosh, that sound just like, it's like an alarm clock sound.
Yeah.
It's like so grating. And it's that, the speed at which we come to expect everything now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so true.
So nice.
Yeah.
So it was directed by Nora Ephron, who also, and the screenplay was done by Nora Ephron and Delia Ephron. They're sisters.
Okay.
Well, and is Zac Efron part of that family?
I know. That is the question, isn't it? And I did look it up. And it turns out I couldn't find any relation, but that was like a common question people have. But no, I couldn't find the relation. We'll have to ask Zach. I don't know. Maybe, like, he could stop by.
You know, that'd be awesome. Hey, Zach, man.
I was like, Ephron. That sounds familiar. Was that? And I was thinking of Enron. I don't know why. I didn't think of Zac Efron. Anyway, Zach, sorry.
I feel like a pedophile.
I don't know how old he is.
Even though he's totally legal now.
Oh, gosh, you were so funny. So 1998, starring, and at this time, they were the rom-com heroes, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
Absolutely.
They had done Sleepless in Seattle, I think, 5 years earlier.
Yeah.
And they came back again together because they just had great
chemistry.
They also did Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh, yes. That's that was right. So cute, too.
That was a cute one.
And this sun-kissed orange soda.
They were cute together for sure.
Do Sleepless in Seattle,
yes,
too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was them. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. And that was in 1993.
Yes,
and I loved that soundtrack.
Oh, yes.
Oh, me too. And I have that soundtrack. I play that all the time.
I have seen none of these films. So all of these Nora Ephron films, and she is very well known for writing rom-coms. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like kind of I don't want to say the inventor of them, but like she was it. Like, I think she's written, there's something about her that's special and I can't think. And I think it was something about her like writing the most rom-coms or having the most famous ones or something like that.
Cool.
She wrote and directed.
That's awesome.
Well, she did the screenplay.
She produced it. Nora Ephron too.
But the concept of You've Got Mail has been around for a long time because
It was based on Around the Corner.
Yes, The Shop Around the Corner with Julie Garland.
And the bookstore was called The Shop Around the Corner.
So I love that they pulled those things in.
Yes, exactly. And that was based on a French play called Parfumerie by Miklos Laszlos. And the concept was people falling in love writing letters.
I totally
And now, so with the, you know, invention of computers, they took it to the new modern thing, which was email.
What would it be now?
Texting,
because we have transcended again.
It is Tinder.
And texting. I think it's texting because, like, I fell in love with
texting?
Bob texting. Bob and I fell in love texting.
I don't know. It's been a long time, guys.
How would you not know who that is?
There's so many
is,
online though, but dating sites. And I remember around this time, because it came out in 1998, I lost my best friend to this because her mom met someone online. She was divorced. And she met someone online. I'm like, what is this? What is happening? You don't meet people online. That's terrible. What if they're crazy? You know, like that's where my little whatever 16-year-old brain was going. And but they fell in love. They got married and she took my best friend away.
What a bitch.
They moved. I think they moved to California and I didn't have anyone to sing country songs with anymore.
Oh, you man. Know, like,
so you've got
they
Mel.
They took your dog. They took your dog. That's right. Your truck. Like,
but it was like cutting edge. So yes.
Yeah. And it's a story of two people in an online romance who are unaware they are business rivals.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. is the synopsis of this movie.
Yeah. So it starts out.
Yes.
With both of them sitting in front of their computers, just excited. Yes. Like the smile on their face, the little dial tone, those three magic words.
You've got mail.
And I think her handle is Shop Girl and his is NY something.
115.
115 or something, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
NY 152.
And I
he would definitely be so credential just to
after they read their emails and they go to work. He can't even focus. He can't pay attention.
They think about
he's so excited.
Yes,
about.
They think about what the other has said all day long within their daily lives.
Right.
Which they, as they're emailing each other, they don't get into specifics of like who they are, where they work. It's all just,
and they do that on purpose. Yeah. They're like, no. You know specifics.
Yes. You know, I just wanted to say one thing. The opening, the music in this movie, so familiar to me. I'm like, why do I love this so much? And the music is done by an American singer-songwriter who reached his peak in the 1970s. His name is Harry Mission, I think.
Oh, that sounds almost like a made-up name.
So he wrote music for one of my favorite childhood movies, which is called The Point.
Oh.
So anyway, I love the music.
Love the music?
In this movie because it reminded me it had childhood sort of
that's funny.
Memories with it. So they meet through email. It's Sally's birthday. Kathleen.
Kathleen and Joe.
Who is Sally?
I have no idea who Sally is, but I can see how Meg Ryan looks like a Sally.
Yeah.
She does
kind of
look like a Sally.
I can totally see that.
She actually, they meet three times, I think, if you think about it.
Okay.
They first meet on her birthday. She is on her computer and goes to a chat room. It's called Something Over 30 and starts to exchange messages with NY152. That's how she knows this other person who she's exchanging messages with. And, but they have an agreement not to exchange specifics of their lives.
Yeah.
She is Shop Girl. That's how he knows her. And, she knows nothing about NY152 other than he has a dog named Brinkley. The second time they meet is
online.
Yes. Okay. So the protagonists are Joe Fox and Kathleen Kelly.
Yes.
And Kathleen is running her little bookshop for children.
That she inherited so from her mother.
Yes, and it's sweetest little place. She cares so much about her shop and all of the employees that work there. They're good friends. She just surrounds herself with amazing people. Mm-hmm. And she's got a good little life.
But she loves children's books.
Yes.
Like you can tell it's her
world. Oh, she knows everything about them too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a very special, meaningful place. It's where she grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so special.
So Joe Fox is in the neighborhood because he is opening a big corporate sort of
Barnes and Noble sort of
and Sons bookstore in the neighborhood. Right. So he's kind of there overseeing this store opening. Mm-hmm. And he's with, they have kind of an interesting family. His grandfather and his father are running this business together.
Have they been running it for a long time?
Like, I think it was the grandfather probably started it.
Yeah. And then they just grew it into a mega.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously chain. The men in this don't have much connection to women.
No.
They get married maybe for a minute, have children. So,
and they tend to marry much younger women. Like,
yes.
So Joe's aunt is 11 years old, and it's his grandfather's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
His father has a son that's 4 years old. Uh-huh. So they're spending time together. Joe is spending time with
his aunt and his brother.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're in the neighborhood. They go to this cute little neighborhood festival, and they're walking past a bookstore at story hour. So they walk in. And he is taken by Kathleen, you know, because she's reading the story hour. But he doesn't really want her to know who he is.
And she is so vibrant and cheery. Yes. And okay, can I just stop for a minute and talk about her haircut?
Oh, I love that haircut.
Okay.
It was iconic.
It was.
In 1998, when she got the haircut. Okay. Back up 4 years. I had a huge crush on this boy. Mm-hmm. It lasted a year. It was a year-long crush. Moved on. But 4 years later, this girl at the high school, she got her hair cut like that. And before that, I mean, I didn't know her well. I don't think anybody did. But she became the it girl because of that haircut. And I will tell you, it looked so good on her. It was transformative. And I was like, oh my gosh, could I get my hair to do that? The duck feather thing?
Yeah.
I think we called it the duck feathers.
Yeah, because it had the cute little flip-up.
And it looked so cute on Meg Ryan.
Yes.
It did.
And will that haircut, really, I don't think it's ever come back.
Well, the problem with that haircut.
And okay, tell me about that haircut.
I did a million of those haircuts. You have to have, Meg Ryan has kind of slightly curly wavy hair.
Oh.
So I can pull it off.
It helps with that. Yeah. It helps to sort of, if you have straight hair, you're doing a lot of curling and weird stuff to make it do what it
does. She used the pomade and she hair dried it and she had I asked Melinda all about this hairstyle.
Yeah.
How is this happening?
It helps to have a little curl in your hair because if you've got super straight hair, it's just, which I worked with a lot.
That's
right. Women who had really straight hair that wanted that. And I'm like, okay,
you're going to be curling it. It's going to be half an hour every morning. Yes.
Yeah, but that haircut, man.
Oh, yeah. She was just kind of adorable in this movie.
And so he was captured by that haircut.
Yeah.
He was. He was okay, and she's adorable with kids and cute and stuff, but that hair.
Exactly. So he's buying his aunt and brother books, and they kind of exchange words. There's chemistry, you can tell.
Yeah.
And that's the second time they meet. So they don't know that they already know each other because they've been emailing each other.
And they've been thinking about each other nonstop. Now, one thing that I want to bring up before you get to the third meeting is they are so enamored with each other that I think at one point, because she's really good friends with the other two gals at the store, she's Is it infidelity for me to be emailing this other person? Mm-hmm. She brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that little scene?
So what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I was like, holy smokes, this is the first time that people had this kind of a
relationship.
Access.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
And I mean, since then, it's blossomed into Facebook or all these other social media things. Mm-hmm. This was pre-social media.
Yeah.
And it was people's first, before that, it was letters. Mm-hmm. But, okay, I'm going to do another Taylor Jenkins Reid thing. She wrote, and I listened to it. It's an hour long listen. It's called Evidence of the Affair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nothing but letters. The entire book is letters, mm-hmm. back and forth to each other. That's the thing I love about her. She does really creative things like that too. And the entire exchange is these two people discovering their partner's affair through reading, finding and reading their letters. Mm-hmm. And it never touched base on this in the movie. Because they were both in relationships mm-hmm. with someone else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They weren't great relationships, you know, like yeah. Greg Kinnear, I can't remember his character's name, that
it was
Kathleen was dating.
Yeah.
It was
kind of political science writer.
Yeah.
It was Frank Navosky. Frank.
And he was like snobby about his typewriter.
Yes.
And like, I'm better than you because I use typewriters and you're, you know, whatever. And he kind of had this air of arrogance about him.
Yeah, he really did.
He did. I didn't. And yeah, because
he's like a columnist for a New mm-hmm. York magazine.
Exactly.
And he's very anti computer and technology too.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a pretty pretentious
and
guy.
Then and then Joe's partner was so self-involved. Patricia.
Oh, she mm-hmm. was a go-getter.
Very, yeah.
Oh, she didn't care about leaving people in the dust. She was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to achieve things. I'm going to get things done and, yeah. you know, not feel bad about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think that they were
not aware of that. Yeah. So they were doing it in secret.
Yeah.
And what was the conversation they had at the bookstore about that? Did you guys pick up on that?
I can't remember that.
I think that they were like, oh, no, it's totally fine. But I was like, this didn't sit right with me. Like, I would be uncomfortable, secret doing that.
I think I felt like it was an interesting way to get involved with somebody because mm-hmm. it is platonic, purely. I mean, they're not talking about themselves or anything else. Not sexy.
Yeah, they have no way of knowing or finding out who the other person is.
But they're getting to know
each other on a different level than they are with their partners, like in a very intimate way.
Yes, because they can't stop
thinking about each other's words.
Yeah, they're being really open uh-huh. and honest about how they see the world, exactly. How they're feeling about it.
Absolutely.
And I think they really connect that way. Mm-hmm. But they don't know that when they meet in the bookstore, she doesn't even know that he's Joe Fox, who's opening this big mega store. He knows, but doesn't want her to know.
Yeah.
So the third time they meet is they're with their partners
mm-hmm. at a cocktail party.
And he's like, oh, shoot, there she is. And she recognizes him and says, oh, hey, don't you came into the store the other day. He's like, oh, yeah. And then they're introduced, and she realizes it's Joe Fox.
Well, doesn't his girlfriend kind of go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you guys are talking to each other because he's putting you out of business.
Yep.
Yeah, she's pretty honest.
Yeah, so they immediately become enemies.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But they're still developing this amazing relationship through email that they don't know, but they're at war with each other because mm-hmm. they're competitors. Mm-hmm.
And he actually gives her advice on how to take him down.
Right. Yes. Which she does.
Yes.
She takes his advice.
She fights back. She goes to war.
So this is a thing
But
too,
it
though.
Didn't work.
No, it didn't. But my question is, let's go back to what you were saying. Was it unfaithful? I mean, because they had it was based upon a friendship.
This was the first time the world had ever had this type of platform for this type of mm-hmm. connection.
Yeah.
People connecting like that.
I don't think it was. I mean, because I think they were just.
I guess it depends on their intention.
Yeah.
I feel like they were pretty just platonic.
Yeah.
They weren't looking for a relationship.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah. I think that's the key. It's like if you're platonic. And you found someone who helps you be a better person and helps you address things, then
But does it ever cross the line?
Well, I feel like they speak, it could, but it never mm-hmm. did with them because, you know, I also feel like these things that they were talking about with each other, they weren't really necessarily or could it wasn't even part of their relationship, their physical relationships that they were having.
Yeah, it was life issues.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that.
Were their views or the perspectives of the world.
Yeah.
Which on levels of communication, like the low level of communication is like, hey, how's the weather?
Yeah.
And then opinions. Mm-hmm. And when you start to reach levels of intimacy, it's what are your thoughts and feelings? Mm-hmm. So they were on a high level of intimate communication.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But they just didn't have the physical aspect that could, I mean, potentially lead them into
other issues. I also think they stopped kind of putting, I mean, although they had a lot of other things going on, like I think Kathleen is dealing with her shop. And although, you know, her boyfriend is supportive and even writes, you know, articles supporting her.
He goes on the news.
Frank, yeah, it goes on the news.
Where he meets that other girl that he ends up hooking up with.
But yeah. I think she also stops putting, to a certain extent, time into that relationship with him. She's not talking to him, Frank, about the things she's talking to NY152 about.
I think it's true because Frank is just so, I mean, arrogant and self-involved. Yeah. Like they're both with partners that can't really connect.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And so they found a connection elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. So are we saying that it's okay because their partners weren't open to him, or are we saying it's okay for people to have connections with whomever, what are we saying?
I feel like if they had a strong relationship with their boyfriend, girlfriend, mm-hmm. this probably never would have gone any further. But because
they wouldn't have sought that connection out to begin with.
Yeah, probably not.
I disagree because I have an intimate relationship with you. We talk about high level intimacy issues, mm-hmm. but I also have an intimate relationship with Courtney, and we talk about high level intimate things.
Because people need that in their life.
And people need
that in
their life.
And if they're not getting that from their partner, then they're going to.
But I get it from my partner now. Like I lived a long time where I never got that from my partner.
So you sought it out.
So I sought it out. Yeah. But I.
Because as humans, we have to connect on that level.
Yeah. And I still, you know, now that I get it from my partner, I still seek it out with you ladies as well. Because I like to have different viewpoints. I like intimate relationships. I don't feel that you being intimate with Courtney and you having a great, you know, relationship with Courtney takes away from your relationship with me. I don't feel like Courtney having a great relationship with you takes away from the relationship she has with me. So I don't
That's
know.
That's because you're not a jealous person. There might be people that would be jealous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's different. You're just not a jealous person at all.
So for me, I'm like, I actually like that Courtney has other strong, intimate relationships. Does that make any sense?
No, and that is a healthy way to
look at it. I really love that. So for me, I don't see it as cheating when someone is – now, if they're talking sexy stuff, if they're talking – if what they're doing is – if they're having conversations that they would not have in front of their partner.
When it becomes a secret.
Yes.
That's when it becomes.
And in
that's
the movie, there was
the
a little bit of secretiveness. Yeah. Meg Ryan was like, slammed her laptop down. She went over. And so in those regards, I'm like, if you're feeling guilty about what you're doing, then there's probably a little bit that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
there
granted.
There was a chemistry.
And there was a
there
chemistry.
There was secrecy. Yeah. There was
and so, but I think
sure.
even chemistry is, I think it even like, you know, if I was into ladies, I'd be like, hey, ladies, what do you, you know? I'm not trying to be a homewrecker for you two ladies. But do you know what I'm saying?
You could try.
I know.
But I think, you know, their relationships were not really working out anyway.
No.
I mean, and I think that Joe may have, I think because of this, because of Shop Girl and his, you know, his email relationship, I think he starts thinking about relationships in different ways because
Absolutely.
What he has learned from his grandfather and father, he was with a woman that was, you know,
going to be one of those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when he's stuck in the elevator with his, Patricia, you know, and she's just, he can't stand her. He's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing with this woman?
I can't have a real, you cannot obtain the levels of intimacy that I require for my well-being.
So did that happen? I think that happened after, in one of their emails exchanges, they decided to meet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yes. As they did eventually cross that line of just purely platonic yes. online to let's physically meet.
Can I ask uh-huh. you guys a question? And this is kind of going to take it a little bit personal. So you guys are aware with my ex-husband that there was no intimacy. There was no intimacy in our relationship. There were no
right.
thoughtful conversations and, you know, seeing of that. And you guys know that I was super craving that and looking for that. And, mm-hmm. and you know that that's as being my longtime friends, you guys know that that is the
that's
most,
why we have girlfriends.
Yeah. That is the most important thing to me in absolutely. Life is that connection. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that is,
well, I think that's kind of why we exist.
Right?
Yes, and we're so, very social creatures.
So, you know, how is it to say that, you know, my ex-husband feels that, you know, like, oh, because I was seeking that out in my friendships.
The difference is the chemistry. We don't have chemistry like that, though.
Oh, but, you know, you just haven't given me a chance, Lisa.
And the no, secrecy. It yeah. was never like, I was never like tiptoeing out to
no,
like
exactly.
hang out with my girlfriends. Like,
yeah, I've never done that either.
My significant other always knows.
Exactly.
Like, that's where I'm going.
And see, and I think that
so
that's the difference.
That's the difference.
Well, yeah, and I think that they also, once they felt like that this relationship with their email friend was going to maybe go further, they did sort of dissolve.
They did dissolve their current relationship.
They did. So did they dissolve their relationships before or after?
Well, can I tell you, so in my progression,
I think it was
after.
So yeah. my progression was, for me, it was a wake-up call. You know, there was a couple of different wake-up calls in my decision to ask my ex-husband for a divorce. And one of them was the realization that, you know, I had the belief system that it was my failures and my lack of an ability to create close emotional connections, you know, that was inhibiting that, which we all know is not the case.
Yeah.
But so, you know, for me, it was realizing, wait a second, I can have these connections and I want these connections, especially with my most intimate person. Mm-hmm. And so for me, yes, the close relationships that I had with other people, the realization that I could have close I was capable of having close intimate relationships
with your
life other
partner.
People.
And your life partner.
Well,
eventually.
Yeah. But the realization that, you know, no, I that is a requirement for me with my life partner was why I was one of the reasons I really broke up with my ex-husband. And it was, and so for him, he felt like I was having, like, he considered, well, you abandoned me. You didn't want to have those connections with me as an affair, as opposed to not seeing that I kept trying to have that with you and you blocked me out.
Yeah.
And so for him, he feels that he was like, you know, that I did have emotional affairs with, you know, that I did share intimacy with other people that I didn't share with him. So he felt in our relationship that he was mistreated.
That's hard because in a relationship, one person cannot be your everything.
Absolutely.
And you need to have support outside of that one person.
Agreed.
That could be overwhelming. But I think for these people in particular, like in this scenario,
yeah, yeah.
their partners weren't interested in an intimate like connection.
And neither was mine.
They were yeah. kind of moving in a different direction.
They
but
were very
you know,
much so.
I think they were done too, actually.
They were done.
You know?
Yeah,
that's
they were
why
done too.
When they dissolve their relationships, they're like, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wish I
but I think that was a little bit rom-commed.
it was rom-coms. They didn't want to go down that.
Yeah, they didn't want to go down there. It wouldn't move the story along. It's much better, and it keeps everything cleaner and makes everyone like the main characters.
Well, they weren't the main characters. Yeah. So.
But so Joe and Kathleen are obviously at odds with each other. And their email,
they decide.
Shop girl and NY152 decide to meet.
Yes.
And he has his friend go up to the restaurant and window and peek in and say, can you see anybody? What did they look like? And his friend's like, oh my gosh. Better come check this out.
Yeah, because he knew exactly who
yeah,
it was.
It's so like,
Joe knew.
Yes. Yeah,
for so quite a while. Do you know what? This is my favorite line of the movie.
Okay.
When his friend is there looking in and he walks back, he's like, I don't know. Should I go in and meet her? It was before he saw her.
Yeah.
And he's like, Joe, relax. You're just taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
I always do that. I always take a relationship to the next level. If that works out, I take it to the next level after that. Till I finally reach that level where it becomes absolutely necessary for me to leave. Oh, you're so terrible. I just busted up laughing. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, I can take it to the next level. So this is next level.
Yeah. And so he goes in and as himself.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks that NY152 is, mm-hmm. yeah. So yeah. He decides, I think he makes this conscious decision that he is going to develop a relationship with her in a different way. In the meantime, she has to close her shop.
Yeah.
You know, so she's kind of got a loathing for him and everything he stands for. She closes his shop. His business is doing
thriving.
Yeah. And it's very sad. And he understands that. And
it's heartbreaking because this was her everything. This was the embodiment of her mother that she lost.
Yeah,
like, this
absolutely.
Is heartbreaking. And he feels like the enemy.
Yeah.
Like, I hated Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know what? I think he hated himself, too, about this aspect of
happening. Think he has, like, another... he also gets a new understanding of what his business is and does.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he and his dad and grandfather are talking about, oh, yeah, we just opened another bookstore and put another one out of business and we bought all their books up and blah, blah, blah. There was no emotional connection to mm-hmm. doing that. And I think because his relationship with Kathleen, he has a different idea of what exactly his bookstores do.
And I think it was super fitting that his dad and his grandfather have never really had a real connection relationship.
Absolutely.
And it carried over into how they manage their businesses.
Yeah, I think it's so funny when Joe's left Patricia and he's living on their yacht. And the dad's new wife, or soon-to-be wife, is the mother of his, Matthew is... brother,
the four-year-old brother.
Yeah.
And they're talking on the yacht and the dad's like, so, you know, he was talking about all his relationships and Joe's like, yeah, that was a nanny. He's like, and the ballerina, that was another nanny. Awesome. What about the ice skater? That was a nanny. That, you know, he definitely.
Okay. There's a trend here.
Yeah. And he's only sorry because maybe Joe might not end up with the inheritance.
Yeah, you're going to
have to
share
your all the way to the nannies.
And he's pretty probably going to have another one. He just needs to find another lady.
Yeah,
so.
I got to go find the next nanny.
Oh, my
gosh.
But
that
so
guy looks like Dr. Phil, too.
Oh, yes, he did. That's funny.
Joe has a lot because I think that night when he, you know, goes in and starts talking to her at the restaurant, as Joe, not as NY152, he realizes that he does want a relationship with her mm-hmm. as him. And so he has a lot to get overcome.
I do have a question for you. I think that night when he goes into the restaurant and he goes in realizing that he's kind of mean to her. He's kind of
a little bit mean to her.
He kind of almost is like, oh, are you getting stood up? You know, and stuff. And I think that he did he did have, you know, some realness in his character as far as like frustration and not dealing with it appropriately. And I think what won him over was her kindness the next day. She goes, yeah. Listen, I just had a horrible experience.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why this happened. And the fact that she would communicate her feelings so well and say, that hurt me. I don't know what happened. These things, you know, but that she was also forgiving and loving. Mm-hmm. And also said, you know, I would like you to explain this at some point, but I still would like to move forward with our friendship.
Well, that was one of the things that she brought up, with that she never says what she's really thinking.
Uh-huh.
And he brought that out, the meanness out of her, because she is like, yeah, not a mean bone in her body.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so they kind of frustrated with her, yeah, situation and blames her.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of brought good aspects out of each other. Like things
they really did, that it needed to balance. They both, yeah, needed balance in their life, and they provided that for each other with still being independent human beings.
Yeah. I really love this movie. Me as too. Far as a movie goes and developing characters, you really understand. They're both have a lot to each of their characters.
Yes. Yes.
And you really like, I mean, even Joe could be a character you didn't like, but you really like him.
I mean, can Tom Hanks play someone you don't like?
I know, right?
Right? It would be so hard.
He's so sweet and funny and endearing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And she's the same way. So you're really, yes, rooting for both of, mm-hmm, these characters. They're very dimensional, and you understand where they're coming from, where they're going to. Mm-hmm. And I just the love story is so amazing because it's on so many different levels.
It really
is. They have to overcome a true rivalry.
Oh, yes. Yes. They know each other, like their first meeting. They know each other on this intimate level, mm-hmm, like that, you know, there's no sex, there's no, you know, nothing else but just your personal thoughts and feelings, mm-hmm, which is such a great way to get to know each other. Yeah. It's like a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then, you know, all the other stuff they have to, you know, they meet each other in other ways. They keep meeting each other and learning about each other in such different dimensions that it's really fun.
Yeah. I love also how they learn to appreciate each other in all of these different aspects of who the other one is.
So let's talk about how we want to rate this movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, we want to know, how realistic is it that the two of these people would ever get together? So we have a scale, 5 point by this scale. I want to call it that. Never going to happen. Not very likely. Neutral, could go either way. Very likely, or they are destined. What do you guys think?
I feel like they're destined. Just because I think that they have already gone through so much together. They've worked through a lot of, they know each other on an intimate level. I mean, I guess what they need to figure out is that they can, but I think they kind of know each other on a physical level too, because they've known each other, in so many different ways that I think they're going to last.
I think I'm going to give go neutral on this one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Only because of the scenario that he put her in.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because she is such a kind person, and she almost seems like she's too kind, that she's going to let him perhaps take over the narrative of how they're going to be. And so I think if she grows some strength, she'll say, find someone else.
I kind of felt like they're sort of on that journey. He is learning to be more thoughtful of other people's situations.
Yeah.
And
so he's her first practice at this. Yeah, I don't think he's used that in the past.
Yeah. Well, and she's learning to be a little more assertive. And because she's going to have to find a new path in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know if they're starting that journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how comfortable they are with that. Yeah. And so they may or may not, they might be five. Oh, you know what? I'm not ready to be assertive and I'm not ready to be nice. And they might not work out. It could go either way. And I don't truly know.
The question though, isn't a good relationship one where you grow into each other? I think that they both have identified the strengths and weaknesses within themselves. I think that they also have identified that they wanted to modulate it. So I think the fact that they were able to do that in a friendship basis and learn that about themselves and truly have full honesty with each other because they didn't like each other in the we are rivals trying to get to know each other phase of their friendship, they didn't have to be nice. They didn't have to do anything. They could be 100% real and in their moment. And so it gave them an honesty that I think that they will be able to take into their relationship. And it is about growing together.
To a point.
To a point.
Because about halfway through, he knew and she didn't.
That's true.
And so he was utilizing this tool to manipulate her.
He really was.
And that's what I don't like about it. I'm sorry.
No, that's very real. That's very real.
He wasn't very upfront honest.
That's true.
He was very manipulative. So I say it could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, that's where I'm putting it on the scale. I'm neutral.
I would say that in real life, had these people, you know, not had this, excuse me, had they not had this ongoing friendship without details online, and I don't think that they would have ever gotten together.
No.
So
absolutely not.
So the fact that
they would have hated each other for life, and there would have been no coming around from that.
Yeah.
But I still, there wasn't enough transparency throughout for me to be totally comfortable saying.
However, the lack of transparency is why they were able to actually get to know each other on a very heart level.
Yeah.
I mean, so because they got to hide behind that screen of, well, he did for a while, but initially the relationship started without him having that
initially,
screen too.
But the turning point came.
That's true. Yeah.
That's when it changed, is when he understood who she was. And what he was going for, and what a nice, good human she was.
Yeah,
for sure. And part of me thinks, oh, how convenient for this, like, predatorial businessman to find a woman that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
I'm the cynic. I'm sorry.
If you look at his previous relationship,
yeah.
You know, the woman he's involved with from the movie, she is a... like him.
Yeah,
in that way. I think he doesn't like that in himself, therefore he doesn't like that in her. And it's all because of
he saw the contrast between the two women.
I do.
The one he was with and the one he wanted to be with, when he saw that kindness, softness, forgiveness, instead of the ruthlessness that he'd always known.
But it is a good point
that
just because he's decided now that he wants that in his life, is he going to be able to actually implement it and become it?
Yeah.
I mean, he decides, oh, I want this in my life. But Lisa has a really good point. He was super manipulative in order to have that happen.
I think Joe had to be that way with Kathleen, or it wouldn't have gone anywhere. He had to kind of that and manipulate that, because if she had found out who he was, she would have been absolutely at that point.
That's so
sorry,
true.
No, I don't want
to. She ruined her life.
I also think that Joe decides in the moment in the restaurant, he could have done two different things. He could have left and severed that whole relationship at that point, but he decides to move ahead. And even that whole situation where
moving ahead with her, it felt like he was rubbing it in.
Lashing out in anger.
I feel like Joe has a moment of, like, he could be really ruthless and just be like, I'm leaving. I don't, I'm not going to even go in the restaurant. But that he didn't, he started to feel guilty about, because his friend says, well, you just let her feed there all night? I mean, she's going to sit there forever? And so he's torn. Do I completely not show up? Does nobody show up?
Yeah.
Oh, but I do like her. I, you know, here's this person that I've fallen in love with.
Online.
Mm-hmm. And then I will feel so, I will understand how she'll feel if nobody. So he tries this occasion.
So you feel he went in there on her behalf, or do you think I felt he went in there to lash out his frustration about the situation?
I think it's both. I think he has a lot of feelings about it, but I also feel like he didn't want to just leave her there. So somebody has to show up.
Mm-hmm. He had an ounce of decency in him at that moment, but it was just an ounce.
I also, although I don't know, because one of the problems that I kind of had a little bit is he was being kind of a jerk in that interaction to her. Mm-hmm. You know, he was going to be, but from the way that the film was directed and the way that we were doing it, we were drawn to, you know, and it was more focused on, let's talk about how she was being mean in her responses back to him.
She was.
And she was. However, she was being no more mean to him in that interaction than he was being to her. However, because she's never been mean, that's what we all focus on. Like, oh yeah, no, you were really mean. There was never any also, and he was also
empowerment for her finally.
Oh yeah, that's true. Although I don't really like the fact that as a culture we're like, oh yes, she was mean. He was mean, but no one ever talked about, yeah, you were a jerk too. Like when they were having their conversations together, it wasn't, we were both jerks to each other at the coffee shop. It was, yeah, I brought out you being mean.
We're talking about that now. Mm-hmm. And we'll get back to the sale.
Oh,
but
sorry.
If he had said to her, I'm NY 152, done, they would have moved on. That would have been like the turning point. So that was a really important part of the movie. So what's your verdict?
I would say, I think that they are destined together because so much had to happen for them to get together, that the fact that they actually got together is a destiny thing.
If AOL hadn't existed, they never would have.
They never would have gotten together. So much had to have happened that it was a destiny move for them. Now, whether or not they will stay.
Sustainability, relationship sustainability. We've got 1 day, 3 months, 2 years, 7 years, and 25 to life. So I'm going to give them 2 years.
Wow.
And the reason for this is I don't know enough about where they are on their growth trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
To realize that they are willing enough to change enough for him not to be manipulative and ruthless and take advantage of her kindness, her innate kindness. So I just don't know enough about that to say, okay, they're on a good, honest path. I think that the first time they have a problem, like all relationships have, I don't know that he's not going to just revert back to just bullying her and around. So I'm giving him 2 years.
I am doing 25 to life. Because I think they are in a place of change. And I think, like I already said, I think they're going to grow together. Because I don't think that they're necessarily bound to the personalities they had before. Them meeting and this situation happening with one Kathleen's business closing and Joe's business opening. I think that they're in a state of growth, and I believe they'll grow together.
Yeah.
So I
I knew what they got. And I'm going to tease out, and I'm going to say, if they make it 3 years, they'll make it 25 to life.
And you're going to win that.
You're taking the middle road.
I'm going to take the middle road because I agree with both of you. I'm like, if they can make it past the honeymoon without Joe being a bully, and I don't think he, I feel like Joe just has a personality trait. I don't find his character abusive or any bad or anything like that. So I don't think that you're going to have to worry about those types of things. But if Joe can truly not be a bully when it comes time to, you know, have real life discussions, and they can get past that, and if she also learns to step up and be accountable for expressing her negative emotions and feelings, then I think they'll last forever. But I think Lisa has a valid point in that I think there's a 25 to 40% chance that they won't be able to do that.
Because how much of the, I think the reason why we chose these numbers for the scale is because there is a 2 year like honeymoon period, like you were saying, where it's like all the novelty of this person and all those hormones and the excitement of getting to know somebody new wears off.
Yeah.
And reality starts to hit, and you're like, oh, this is who you really are, and I can see you for the non-hormonal
thing. Yeah, there's 3 months. Your newness wears off in 3 months.
Yeah.
Then there's 2 years, so you really know each other much more in 2 years.
That's the first real fight.
That's the real fight. So are they going to make it past the real fight? And Valerie does not want to commit.
Well, because I really think there's a 25 to 40% chance that they won't make it past that first fight. But however, I really do believe.
So you're leaning more towards lifelong.
I'm leaning more towards lifelong.
I love it.
I do totally cannot dismiss. I think if they make it past that first fight, I don't think they're going to have the 7 year fight. I don't think they're going to have those things, because I do feel like as individuals, they are self-actualized enough to make it past the milestones that tend to break a relationship down later in life.
Yeah. Right.
However, it's just that initial bully situation.
Well, in 7 years, in a book review after I do, they are at that 7 year mark.
No, they're already 11 years.
Oh, 11 years.
They've been together for 11 years in that book.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
but I think that
sort of
the 7 year like situation.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
A 7 year situation where you're like really starting to settle into life. And work through some real hard stuff in 7 years. Like that, there's the 7 year itch, they call it.
Yeah.
And it's because I think that so often a relationship stops when you're settling in, you're really deciding, do I really want to settle?
Yes.
So, and you're starting to take advantage of
each other.
Mm-hmm. And you're growing kind of to date in making a relationship work. You stop working a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and I think in that book, because they were college sweethearts, the 4 years basically of dating kind of during the college days really wasn't quite the same as, you know, that
they started as sophomores, graduated seniors, so they went through their 2 year,
but they hadn't really addressed any of the things that you would know. And I think part of it was because they were so young, they hadn't addressed some of the things that ignored.
But for You've Got Mail, let's talk about, let's get back to that one. How spicy was this one? Did you guys find it? So we've got five levels of spice: green pepper, jalapeno, cayenne, habanero, and ghost. Ghost peppers, I've never even seen one. Pretty spicy. Yeah, even that. I'm giving this a green pepper. We didn't even see tongue on this.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
there's other
Disney level
kiss.
Well,
it's not. It's just a peck on cheek.
Yeah.
It was like more hello.
Yeah. There was no passion. Even their kiss at the end was more of a friend kiss than a passionate kiss.
So this is the kind of movie that you come to for that big aha at the end that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
So it is a feel good movie. So I enjoyed it for sure. And I would, having never seen any of Nora Ephron's movies, and she's the guru of rom coms. I really liked it.
I kind of want to see what else she has.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to watch more of her movies.
Absolutely.
Sleepless in Seattle. What was the other?
I don't know which other one.
I can't remember. We'll have to look them up, but I would probably watch them.
I adore this movie. This is a movie that, you know, like, if you're sick or if you just want something on in the background, this is a movie. You know, this is a good go-to movie.
You can watch it with kids around.
Yep.
And thanks for listening.